Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate studio on the 7th floor of the Trib Tower here till 5 o'clock. A little bit later on, we're going to be talking about celebrity crushes. And Esmeralda and I are going to go head-to-head in some more Craig Ferguson-inspired celebrity name game. But first, I'd like to welcome back to the show an old friend. I don't mean that you're old.
Oh, I am old.
All right.
So it works any way you cut it.
Well, an old friend.
Yeah.
Someone I love, Jen Bosworth.
Hi.
Hi. Writer, actress, storyteller, all-around great chick, radio host.
Yes, yes.
And your one-woman show, which I've seen and is beautiful.
Yes.
Is coming back this weekend.
It is for two shows only.
Okay. We're going to talk about that and tell everybody how to get tickets. But you're going to hang out for a while because we haven't seen each other in a long time.
It's been a while. I have a lot of questions for you.
Okay. We'll do that later.
That's our segment. Yeah. Did you find the bump?
No, I didn't find it. We found it?
Oh.
Engineer Bob tracked it down.
Bob, look at that, Bob. Bob. Give a hand to Bob, everybody. Bob Ferguson. Well, you know why he found it? Because his last name is Ferguson.
Ferguson.
That's why
it's perfect time. That's it.
Yeah. Oh, it's just on
a loop
like that? That's great.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you, Bob. Thank you, Dan. All right. So do you like Falco?
You know, I do like
Falco. Do you have a Falco story?
And I do not have a Falco story, but we have a mutual friend, Robin Coffin, who's amazing.
I love Robin.
She's obsessed with that show. Every time we message, she's like, I'm watching Too Young to Die. I'm watching Too Young to Die.
Really good Robin.
I'm watching Too Young to Die. And she's like, now is Judy Garland. She's watched Judy Garland.
Yeah, I haven't watched that one yet.
Okay.
I didn't go from season or to episode 1, 2, 3. I didn't go in order.
Do they have reenactments though? Tell me.
No, no. It's all real footage, whatever footage that they can find of the. I mean, at least in the episodes I've seen.
I think you're right. There's another cheesier series.
Yeah,
this is like the British did it, so you know it's good.
Yeah, exactly. Right. The one that you're thinking of, I think, is on that Reels channel with the Z.
Yes,
I wanted to watch. They did a Philip Seymour Hoffman one, and I couldn't watch it because they had some Philip Seymour Hoffman trying to act like Philip Seymour Hoffman. I'm like, what the hell is this?
Yeah. It didn't work out.
It's like that American what the hell America's Most Wanted.
Oh, I love that show.
I did too.
And as an actor, I have gone out for so many reenactment programs.
Yeah.
To play like the mom that like gets run over by a truck and then like lives to walk down the road.
Well, here's the funny thing. One tidbit that I love about America's Most Wanted, and I love that show.
I love it.
It's what launched Fox.
Yeah.
That and Married with Children.
Yep.
Boom, made Fox.
John Walsh.
But my favorite tidbit about that show, and this is absolutely true, is that the actors who were hired to play the wanted people,
yes,
were getting arrested because people would see them.
That's brilliant.
They would see them and go, oh, my God, that dude I saw in America's Most Wanted last night is across the street.
Oh, my God.
They'd call the cops, and they would arrest him, and they'd go, no, I'm the actor who played the real dude.
Right.
And that happened. I can't tell you the number of times that happened.
Amazing. And also, I would be like, yeah, you know, they can't, you know, the actors can't make bail. They don't have any money. So it's like when they get arrested, they're in trouble.
They're in trouble. But wouldn't you take that as a compliment, though?
I would. I would be
like,
yes.
As an actor?
I was the mom that held up the liquor store who's addicted to aspirin.
Thank you.
You know what I mean?
Instead of getting an Emmy, I'm getting arrested.
Yeah.
But yeah. So.
Yeah.
I can't believe Robin loves that show, huh?
She's, I'm watching Too Young to Die. I'm like, okay,
that
Robin.
Is such a good Robin.
Yeah.
How's she doing, by the way? I haven't seen her in a while.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
She's just such a good person.
And she's a regular on Chicago Fire.
Fire. She plays Cindy on Chicago Fire. And she's
I directed her in Black and Blue.
And she's a factory.
Yes.
Ensemble
she's
member.
A factory ensemble member.
She's good. She loves you. And we always talk about whenever a movie comes out, I say, oh, Nick's going to talk about this movie. And she's like, oh, I need to see it.
Yeah.
So.
Well, the last time she and I went to go see Amy Mann together.
Oh.
Yeah, I had an extra ticket. And she was the first person I called because, her favorite movie is Magnolia.
A favorite.
And so we have that huge thing in common.
And you guys are both music nuts.
And so I had the extra ticket for Amy Mann. And I'm like, look, Robin, we haven't seen each other in a really long time. Let's go. And we went. It was at Old Town School of Folk.
Oh.
Yeah. It was a great night.
It was a
lot of fun.
Night?
It was beautiful.
Was Amy Mann amazing?
Oh, please.
She makes that movie in a lot of ways.
Well, the music is so beautifully used. By the way, did you say hello to Esmeralda?
Hi, Esmeralda.
I don't know what she's doing. She's running around inside her hut. What are you doing in your hut there, Esmeralda?
Hi. Fall cleaning?
Are you?
Yeah,
our...
fall clean. I am scanning some sheets.
Oh.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Okay, well, anyway, she says hi.
That's hi. Well, I can say it.
Okay.
Oh,
hi. 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 Okay. There you go. But yeah. I don't know what she's running around. She's in a traffic hut.
She's in her traffic hut.
Yeah.
I'm fixing the roof of the hut.
Oh. Is that what you're fixing? The thatch?
The rain.
You're thatching?
Yeah, because of the rain.
She had to thatch her roof, her hut.
We have high quality
it's really
facility.
Top of the line here. It's a top of the line operation.
Exactly. All right. Well, so you've been keeping busy.
I have. You know, Dan just told me he saw my commercial just recently.
What commercial are you on?
I am on this Countrywide Financial commercial that has run for a year, and now people are recognizing me from it.
What happens in the commercial?
I don't even know. Dan, is Dan here?
Yeah, he can't. He's
oh,
right
he
behind
has to
you.
Be here.
I mean, let me tell you something. If he wasn't here, this show wouldn't exist.
We wouldn't be here.
No. Yeah. No, seriously. Right. This show would fall completely apart if Dan wasn't here.
I didn't know if he was thatching the roof. Hi.
Yeah.
Hi.
Hello, Jen.
So what do I say in the commercial? Do you know? Because the volume was off.
Yeah. They were very trustworthy. You felt like you could trust them. And that was...
Wait. You were seeking their assistance?
Yeah. So it's a commercial where I'm supposed to be, again, a real, quote, person. And,
Yeah.
And so they ask me questions about my financial needs, and I'm like, in real life, I'm like, I'm financially destitute, and but in the thing, I'm really trusting my Countrywide financial advisor,
right?
And it has run forever, and I'm so grateful.
Yeah,
but it's always on sports channels. What is it?
ESPN?
No.
CSN?
CSN all the time, and so I get
do I see you then during Hawks games?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. I'm going to have to now. Well, there's a Hawks game tonight, so I'm going to have to.
It's really, really interesting.
Okay.
So people are like, hey, are you that country? I'm like, yes, I am.
Countrywide Financial. Okay, I will definitely, because I'm watching the Hawks tonight, so I will definitely.
So, the Hawks. You know, they're doing, they're circus
strippers.
They're
doing good. Yeah. They're doing fine. They're all right at this point.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. So I'm doing that.
Okay, what else? Now, have you been doing some TV?
I did. I booked a role on Empire.
Yeah, that's what I heard. I heard about that. Are you working with Sarah?
No,
oh,
I am not.
Okay.
She's like on all the time.
I know. She's on all the time.
Yeah. No, Sarah's great.
Sarah Savini is who we're talking about.
She's hilarious.
She's also factory, also awesome. She's
awesome.
Yeah.
Awesome. No, I had a day player role, and it was one of the crazier things because Empire's the hippest, youngest, thinnest group of people you've ever seen. And I was like, how is this? How am I on the show? I was a nefarious nurse that, like, anyway, it's the weirdest thing. You're like, I'm so, these are not my people.
Hang on a second, okay?
Yeah.
You were with the beautiful people.
Yeah, I was with the beautiful people.
Yeah, that's why you left L.A.
Yeah.
All right, hold on, okay? We're going to take a break. We got the news coming up. Jen Bosworth is here. We'll give you all the information about her great one-woman show and how you can see it. It's only this weekend, two performances, Saturday at 8, Sunday at 3. We'll give you all the details on that right after the news, which is after this. All right. Hi, morning, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. Two for Tuesday later on in the show. Get your requests in. One artist, two songs. You pick them. 312-981-7200. 312-981-7200 for talk and text. We're here till 5 a.m. Going to talk about celebrity crushes a little bit later on. Esmeralda and I are going to play a game of celebrity name game. And my good friend Jen Bosworth is here. Hi, Jen.
Hello.
We were just talking off the air about, I mentioned what my next film club is, and I haven't seen yet one of my film clubs in a while.
It has been crazy.
Yeah.
I've been actually auditioning more and more.
Yeah.
It's like you hit 40, you don't care, and all of a sudden people want to see you.
Well, that's good. Good for you.
No, but I'm going to be there next
1941.
Tuesday. great.
I love that movie.
Yeah.
And probably the biggest bomb of Spielberg's career.
Yeah. Least known, probably.
Yeah.
In terms of name recognition.
But it's a great movie. It's a crazy, insane movie with an incredible cast.
Incredible.
And it's going to be great to see on the big screen. It's
Movie
Co. Theater. Go to carmike.com to get your reservations. Only $10, parking free. You can have food beforehand and all kinds of cool stuff. And it's a week from tonight, December 6th, 8 o'clock, carmike.com, CARMIKE. And if you've never seen it, you got to see it. It's great. And if you've never seen it on the big screen, it's awesome.
And also, Movie Co. is the best place ever to see a movie.
Yeah, and the theater that we use is
it's beautiful.
Giant love seats. And you can bring in food and cocktails.
Lay down.
You could literally lay down and relax.
Yeah.
So anyway, I hope to see you. And your husband, Miles, who's the guy who actually turned you on to this show.
Absolutely. He said it was 2006. Oh. So I've been listening for 10 years.
Wow.
Yep.
Okay.
2006, he was like, you got to listen. And I was like, I don't want to listen to this. And then unfortunately my dad died and I was pretty depressed and up. I could not sleep.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, well, this guy will put me to sleep. I was laughing. It was during the Twilight Zone days.
Well, when I was on after the Twilight Zone?
Exactly.
Yeah.
And so I'd listen to the Twilight Zone and then I'd be like, I'll see if this guy. And literally I was like, this man could be me. Like, we are basically, Miles was like, you are basically the same person.
That's disturbing.
Well.
Coming from Miles.
Well, yeah. That's my husband. That's a little weird. He is in love with you. So
I know. I know that. And yeah. He listens all the time. I know.
Oh.
And because, like, he will text in or call in and with questions and suggestions.
Yes.
And
he loves Dan. He loves you. I'll wake up and I'm like, what are you doing?
He's how come he didn't come down tonight?
He has to make the doubloons tomorrow.
Oh, that's
he's
right.
He's the only real working person.
Yeah. Well, now you're going out on auditions and stuff.
I am. Don't get paid for them, but that's
okay. Well, you got paid for Empire.
I got paid for Empire. I got paid for Country Financial. I've done another little. I had to do a little industrial where I was a hunter and fisher. So I was a woman and I wore a plaid shirt and I was like a Wisconsin mom who knows how to fish for muskies and reel them in.
Where do they shoot this?
They just shot it here in it was more like a test. It was, again, these real people testimonials talking about how I love my fish and I love to hunt and it's a real all kids should experience hunting and fishing. And
yeah.
I'm thinking to myself, I don't know what's happening.
It's an industrial for what?
This advertising agency was trying to hook in hunting and fishing
companies. Oh, I see. Okay.
To say, we want to rep you guys. And so they needed people to talk about, look, I don't know anything. I was like, yeah, you take the barrel of the gun. I have no idea what I'm talking about.
Right.
But I was like, oh, I'm just going to go with it. So I've been doing some of that stuff. But yeah, Miles, I'll wake up in the middle of the night and I'll see a light from his phone. I'm like, what are you? He's like, just texting Dan. I'm like, oh my God. Miles, put the phone down. He's like, I'm just putting in my my fly jam.
Yeah, so he does. He puts in fly jams and requests.
He plans it days ahead.
Yeah.
He's like, I can't wait.
He's also, you know, on our other theme mornings, he's texted in.
Oh, yes.
You know, I think he's done a two for Tuesday. I think he might be, maybe he's up now and he's doing a two for Tuesday.
I believe
even though he's got to work.
He's planning. Whatever he's doing, he's like, I can't wait to talk to Dan. Said, Dan's my friend. I'm like, Dan is not your friend. He's the producer of the show. He has to take your calls.
Let's go back here for people who aren't familiar. How did you get started in acting?
So I went, I literally, when I graduated or when I was a junior in high school, I had no idea what I was going to do. And I wanted to backpack across South America. My mom was like, you're ridiculous. You're not going anywhere. And
you wanted to backpack and fish and hunt.
And hunt.
Right.
Muskies in the Amazon. I don't know what I wanted to do. I wanted to get out of my house, but she said you have to go to college. I'm like, I don't know. I don't know if I'll get in anywhere. I said, okay. And there was this really pretty girl who's actually kind of famous now, Heather Burns, she was on Bored to Death. She played Zach Galifianakis's wife on Bored.
Oh,
to
yeah,
Death.
Yeah.
Yeah. So she went to my high school and I thought she was the
Where'd
most
you go to high school?
Beautiful Evanston Township.
Okay.
And I thought she was the most beautiful thing and she was going to acting school. So I was like, maybe I'll try it. Maybe it'll turn me into a beautiful woman. So I went and I auditioned. I got in. And then after I graduated, I stuck around here, did the early auditions and the ERs.
Sure.
And then I thought, I'll move to L.A. because that is really the smart thing to do. Because I was, 24 and had no clue what I was doing.
Yeah.
I was like, I'll just go to L.A. and I'll be famous. And that'll be my plan.
Yeah.
So I had no plan. That was the plan. And that's not a plan.
Mm-hmm.
That's a plan to fail. But I went. And instead of acting, we know where I ended up.
You ended up as Nicolas Cage's assistant.
I certainly did.
Yeah.
Nicolas Cage was my boss, and they spotted him. He was making a horror film here in Indiana. Did you know this?
No.
Just finished filming a horror film set in Indiana, and he was showing up at Mariano's. Is that the name of the store? Yeah.
Mariano's. Oh, yeah, the grocery store?
Just wandering around. The ones in Chicago. And people would have sightings of him.
They're Nicolas Cage sightings.
Yes, at Mariano's.
And you specifically just hung out at Mariano's.
Yeah. People would see them. He would like, because they don't have
that. Did he think
it
was an Italian market?
I mean, think he thought it was some kind of nice, quaint, like, I don't know, but they don't have those in L.A., so he's probably like, this is no Ralph's. This is Mariano's. My uncle, Francis Ford Coppola, would be very proud of me. You know what I mean? So he was around. I have a friend that was actually in the movie with him, but not in a scene with him.
Yeah.
And said it's a horror film that he shot. Maybe it can only be as good as The Wicker Man.
Yeah, I was going to say, if he's got a great record with horror movies. Well, Vampire's Kiss, not really a horror movie.
But a great movie.
Great movie, and still my favorite Nicolas Cage performance
it's
of all time.
Great, great movie.
Anytime you go, Nicolas Cage, he sucks, and you go and watch Vampire's Kiss.
Right.
But he made a movie last year called Joe.
So good.
He was phenomenal in it.
Phenomenal. It's like, well, I don't know what happened. And then he was on the one with the resurrection with the plane.
End of the World with the plane. I can't even remember what the hell it's
left
called.
Left Behind.
Yeah, man. Oh, man. It was hilarious, though. It was hilarious.
I didn't see it.
It's hysterical.
Yeah, you really.
He was in a movie, and I don't remember. I can't remember the name of it. It was last year, and I watched it. And here's the reason why I watched it.
Yeah,
he co-starred with Elijah Wood.
Oh boy!
And they played a couple of cops who were going to do a heist.
Oh boy!
And Jerry Lewis played his dad.
The real Jerry Lewis?
Yes.
Did you see it?
Yes.
Was it weird?
Oh my God! Jerry Lewis is in one scene. And you can tell that Jerry Lewis showed up to the set and said, what the hell am I doing here?
Right.
And then they shot the scene. He went, get me the hell out of here.
Yeah.
And that you could basically tell just by what. But it was surreal because he plays his dad.
Which is so weird to think of those two in a room together.
Well, the first time I saw it, there was a poster for it. And I can't remember the name of it. But that's how memorable a film it
was.
Really but it, when I first saw the poster, it was like Nicolas Cage looking tough with his mustache, Nicolas Cage. Yeah.
Which is probably not a real mustache, by the way.
And Elijah Wood with, like, sideburns looking all unFrodo.
He's, like, 12.
Yeah. Well, no, he's not really, but, I mean, he's always going to be Frodo.
He is Frodo.
Yeah. And so, they got top billing, and it said Nicolas Cage, Elijah Wood. And then right in the middle of the poster, Jerry Lewis. And I was like, no, this isn't real.
That's pretty amazing.
This can't be a real thing.
I'm sad he's only in one scene.
Oh, yeah. He's just in one scene. Two scenes, actually.
I maintain that the Jerry Lewis monologue in Nutty Professor, when he comes
at the
clean,
end?
One of my favorite monologues of movie history.
Yep. Showed that 1 year ago.
I was there.
Yeah.
It is such a good monologue. If people have not seen that movie,
it's amazing.
I don't know who you are, but it's a great acting.
It's amazing. And that is one of The Nutty Professor is one of the most shockingly personal movies ever made by a filmmaker.
It's so beautiful and heartbreaking.
Yeah, and he puts it all out there. He basically is saying, with The Nutty Professor, I'm schizophrenic.
Right.
I'm nuts, and this is me.
This is my life.
I've never seen a director cut his heart open and pour it out onto
the
screen like The Nutty
of
Professor.
It's a funny, wacky movie, but it's not. It's a sad, serious, beautiful, scary movie.
Yeah,
that scene where he turns scary.
I agree.
So it's a brilliant film.
It is. Yeah. So anyway, Nicolas Cage, you worked for Nicolas Cage.
I did for 5 years.
Yeah.
It was pretty crazy.
It was. You worked for him, and then like were you trying to audition,
well,
or did that all...
No. Oh my gosh. So once I started working for him, that is like your life.
Yeah.
No, there was no more acting. Plus, L.A., as we've talked about, it's a crazy, terrible place where you end up. I always say it starts off all sunsets and nice, you know, it ends up with mascara just running down your face, and you're in a pool and you have no idea with your clothes on and you don't know how you got there and you're alone. The thing is, you're not in a party situation. You're just alone.
Mm-hmm.
So L.A. is a lonely place. Maybe if you're one of these beautiful people that's working all the time. But I was not that. I was working for him and my old acting dreams were gone, went by the wayside. And sort of when you work for a celebrity, like, that's your life. So you live kind of through them, but it's just a weird existence.
Yeah.
The rest of the assistants to, like, Jim Carrey and stuff, we'd all get together and be like, what are we doing? What has happened to us?
Now, they're good friends.
They are.
Tell the story.
This is one of my favorite stories.
Yeah,
so
tell this one. This is great.
Nicolas Cage got married to Lisa Marie Presley.
That's right. It really happened.
Frightened me and was really mean to all all of us. Very a potty mouth, and I've got the worst mouth, but she, woo. Anyway, they got married. They got married in this beautiful mansion that no one lives at or whatever. So Jim Carrey's there, and I'm like, really? I like Jim Carrey.
Yeah.
I think Liar Liar is actually one of, I love that movie. So I was really excited to meet him, really excited. And I thought, this is a great opportunity. And he walks up with this young girl, and I'm like, hi. And he's like, oh, hi. Very normal, subdued dude, kind of weird too, shocking. And I shake his hand, and I'm like, oh my God, this must be your daughter. Hi. It was not his daughter. It was his date. And I was like, I was like, I'm so fired. You can't recover from that.
Yeah.
It's sort of like, I just like basically turned around and walked away.
Right.
And pretended it didn't happen.
Yeah.
I was like, I am so fired. I am so. Well, that was like the theme in my head for 6 years. I am so fired.
Every day. Yeah.
That's
really comforting to have a job like that.
It's horrifying.
Yeah. All right. Well, listen, we got a break.
Great.
But if people want to see Jim Carrey and Nicolas Cage together, Peggy Sue Got Married.
Yes.
They were phenomenal in that. And I loved that performance.
That's a brilliant movie too.
A great movie.
I love Kathleen Turner.
I love Kathleen Turner too. And you know, and speaking of Nicolas Cage and speaking of The Nutty Professor, that's a very Jerry Lewis influenced performance.
Yep.
So I loved it. All right, we got to take a break. Jen Bosworth is here, and I swear, Jen, we're going to talk about your show.
That's absolutely fine.
Okay, I swear. It's called Why Not Me? Love, Cancer, and Jack White. And it's playing at a place called Catalyst Ranch, which I want to talk about. And it's this Saturday and Sunday only. And we have a link on our Facebook page for all the info, and we'll get back to Jen Bosworth right after this. Hi, everybody. Nick Giglio here on 720 WGN. Live in the Allstate Studio, 7th floor of the Trib Tower, here till 5. Jen Bosworth is here. Hi, Jen.
Hello.
Hey, want to help me give something away?
Yes.
I've got some stuff to give away. Why don't we start with, I've been, you know, it's Christmas time now.
It's Christmas.
And so I've been giving away some really cool sports-themed artificial trees.
Awesome.
From treetime.com. So I'm going to give one of those away.
Okay.
It's a certificate for a desktop sports-themed artificial Christmas tree of your choice with white micro lights. It's from Treetime Christmas Creations. They're on Pepper Road in Lake Barrington. And I've been giving these away, you know. I got a few.
That's
I've been
amazing.
Giving away a few a week.
Yeah.
So let's give one of these away right now. And here's what I need from you,
okay.
Jen Bosworth.
Okay.
The phone number is 312-981-7200.
Pick Miles, a number. Do not call. Please. Please don't.
Pick a number between 1 and 10, Jen.
7.
Caller number 7. See, so you picked them.
Yep.
Then people can thank you.
Miles, do not. I am repeating myself. Miles, do not call.
Caller number 7. That's the number chosen by Jen. You will get your artificial Christmas tree. We need an email address from you, and you have to pick up the tree from Tree Time. Caller number 7, 312-981-7200. Are you a Christmas person?
You know, Christmas is sort of... I can be, and also it is too much. It's too much. It's too much pressure. I know for people, it's true. People have a lot. People that suffer from sadness and depression, it's a hard time.
It's a very hard time.
I think something you know from being the overnight sort of voice is that people expect you to be really happy, and sometimes it's just not.
Yep.
You know, and I think it's important to let people know that, like, oh, yeah, this is a really jolly, happy time. It also can be very hard for people. So I don't know. I have mixed feelings about it, you know.
I'm with you. I don't go out of my way to be all Christmassy, and I don't know.
Right.
And
spend a bajillion dollars on stuff.
Yeah.
Who needs anything?
Yeah.
The way the world is, I need nothing. I just want to make sure the planet's around tomorrow.
Yeah, I agree. Like, that's another, I think this is going to be a particularly stressful holiday season.
Yeah. Just because everything
because of what's
on.
Happening in the world and how people are reacting to
you
it.
You did a great job, my friend.
I did a great
you did a great job.
I was on the morning after Trump was president-elect, and I was on literally 5 minutes after his speech.
I mean, that's part of being a news. You know, you're like, you have to do your job,
right?
But you are a human. But you also-
I don't. You know. You listen to this show, and you know me. I don't think of this show as a political show at all.
No.
In fact, I think it's a respite from that stuff.
Agreed.
And I think it's necessary to get away from that crap. And if I can provide 3 hours of let's forget about what's going on, whatever side of the political world you are on,
yes.
why don't we all just get together and laugh for 3 hours in the middle of the night?
I love it.
So
it's you did,
but I couldn't do it that night.
Well,
I mean,
it's hard. It's hard, and also the thing is that you're really good at is you don't want to ignore what's going on.
Yeah.
So it's like you want to pay attention to it without like spending 3 hours on one thing.
Yeah.
But you did a good job.
Well, you know me personally, so you know that I have political beliefs. I feel very strongly about them.
You very much do.
And I participate in what happens in this country and in this world.
You really do.
I just choose to keep that stuff away from what I do on this show.
Which is really a mark of a professional.
Well, I don't know about that, but thank you.
We'll just call it that.
Hey, you said caller number 7.
I did.
All right. So let's say hello to Jean. Hi, Jean.
Hi.
How are you?
I am good. How are you?
Good. Jen picked number 7, and you're number 7.
Oh, great.
Hi, Jean.
Hi.
All right. You got yourself a certificate for a desktop sports-themed artificial Christmas tree. These are really, really cool, Jean. You're going to like it, okay?
I'm going to love it. Thank
okay,
you so
great.
Much.
Hang on a second, okay?
Okay.
Okay, Jean, thanks for listening. I appreciate it. That's our first winner, Jean.
The people that listen to your listeners are the best listeners.
They are. My listeners
they're
are the
sweetest, and they're funny.
Yeah.
And it's just amazing.
It's the best part of my job.
And they're loyal.
They're to a ridiculous point.
They don't mess around.
No, I know. And it's people, you know, people who work at this radio station are always like, Nick, your fans are nuts.
They love you.
They do.
And Dan.
They're the best part. Dan. They're the best part of this show.
Yeah.
My favorite part of doing this show are because of the listeners.
It's amazing when you're, you know, you rarely are not here, but when you're not, people go.
Yeah.
Like,
well, I was off last week for Thanksgiving.
Right.
And I know people do tend to go, where's Nick?
Yeah.
They call up and start screaming.
They get crazy.
I know.
But that's a sign that they love you.
So do they scream at you when you fill in for me?
No, but they scream via text.
See, I don't look at the text.
Me neither. But sometimes a fill-in producer, because you usually dance off when you're off. But when I'm here, there's a fill-in producer, and they're like, oh, these people. And I'm like, please, don't.
Well, you know, some hosts.
I know.
You know, because the texts come rolling in.
Yes.
And I have Dan deal with that.
Me too.
Because I don't want to watch it because I don't want to look at it and see all these idiots who text in.
Right.
And the funny thing about it is the people who text like really nasty stuff. And mean stuff, they'll listen for the entire show. So thank you.
Right. They're doing a favor.
they're going to listen for 3 hours.
Right.
They'll be pissed off. They hate me, but they're going to listen for 3 hours.
It's amazing, isn't it?
It's unbelievable.
So good.
And also, if you're texting in really nasty stuff, your phone number is going to be on the screen.
That is
so
really
we have your phone number.
That's really interesting. I never thought
about
that.
Oh, yeah. No. You can hey, there's the phone number. There's the person who's texting you right now saying horrific things.
Yeah, I don't watch it.
We've got your number. No, I don't look at it. They let Dan will fly through them, pull the ones that are funny or good or interesting or going to add to the topic.
He's a pro.
He's the best.
Yeah.
So, Why Not Me, Love, Cancer, and Jack White. We'll get to that. We're going to get to that after the news. But tell me about Catalyst Ranch.
It's the coolest place. It's on Randolph, and it's a meeting space, but they decorate it. It's like going to your amazing great aunt's house. Different rooms, different furnished. And so it's basically people go there for retreats, day-long retreats, and it's a meeting space, but it's really beautifully decorated on Randolph. And I'm doing it there. It feels like you're in someone's cool living room. So that's why I wanted to do it there. It's like a different vibe. It's not like.
How did you find this place?
I have a really good friend that works there, and she was like, "Come do it. Come do the show here." Very intimate space. Very non. I don't like actors. I don't like theater for the most part. I'm a grump. But this doesn't feel like that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, that's interesting. So it's at 656 West Randolph.
Yes.
In the West Loop.
Yes.
And there aren't many restaurants around there.
None I can afford.
I mean, I was going to say, you're going to have to walk 2 feet.
If they put a Popeye's in there, I'll be there.
anyway, it's at Catalyst Ranch, 656 West Randolph Street. We'll tell you all about the show. I've seen it, and it's wonderful. It's funny, and it's touching, and it's great. Saturday, the 3rd at 8 o'clock, Sunday the 4th at 3 o'clock. And if you want to get tickets and check all of the information, we have links on our Facebook page. And you can do that. And how long since you performed this? When was the last
2 years.
Time? Has it been that long?
You were at the last show. You were at the second to last show.
Wow, me and Decker.
Oh, my God. You guys were cracking me up, too.
God, that was 2 years ago?
Yeah. I know. We're still alive, dude.
I can't believe that was 2 years ago.
I know. We had such a blast.
It was so funny. We were talking. We had a – Dan, what was the – who did we – what band did we have in here?
Falco?
Falco was not was not here.
That would have to be 98.
Falco's been dead since 1998. Yeah. Dan, well, we've had bands come in here, and you told me, it was 2 years since their last visit. And I remember I said, it's got to be, what, about a year? And it was 2 years. I can't remember what specific band. But I was convinced it was just, it was about a year ago.
I know.
Over 2 years.
I know. We're old, dude.
Yeah, I know. It all starts to go down at 40.
40,
and I'm past 40. I'm 51 now, so it's all, please.
But I was saying, you look darn good.
Well, thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you very much. And I appreciate that. It was really funny. We were watching, my parents and I were watching the marathon of All in the Family on Thanksgiving. We watched like 4 hours of All in the Family.
Oh, my gosh.
And one of the episodes was Archie was really upset because they threw him a birthday party on his 50th birthday. So I'm watching it, and I'm like, I'm a year older than Carol O'Connor.
In this episode.
Yeah.
That's weird.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
And my parents are like, he had to be older in real life. So I looked him up online. He was 50 when he made that episode.
Oh, my gosh.
And my mom's like, you don't even remotely look like.
No, you look young.
Yeah.
You look in your face.
But I was like, but that's the kind of weird, like a slap to the face. Wait a second.
Tell me about they're not.
I'm a year older than Archie Bunker in this episode.
Yeah. Now they're like, oh, Jen, you're going in. You're going to have a daughter of a 17-year-old. I'm like, I'm going to die.
All right. We got a break. Tell you more about Jen's show. And then you're going to turn the tables on me.
Absolutely.
And ask me some questions, which you do all the time. We got a couple of more things to give away. And Jen will pick a number.
Woo!
We'll do that. All that coming up here. But we got a break for the news, which is coming up in about 21 seconds. Hey. Hi. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN, live in the Allstate Studio, 7th floor of the Trib Tower. I'm your overnight dude, 2 to 5 a.m. A little bit later on, we're going to be talking about celebrity crushes then and now and all that cool stuff. Esmeralda and I are going to go head-to-head in another exciting, intense, insane celebrity name game. And Jen Bosworth is my current guest, my good friend Jen. She has a one-woman show called Why Not Me, Love, Cancer, and Jack White, which is happening at Catalyst Ranch at 656 West Randolph. You can only see it twice this weekend, so get your tickets now. Saturday, December 3rd at 8, Sunday, December 4th at 3. Tell everybody about the show. I've seen it, and I loved it.
Oh, it's basically a comedy about cancer and death, but it is. But it's also just a show. It's basically a show about the journey I took from Chicago to L.A. and back again, and family and taking care of people. But it's funny. I think it's funny.
It is funny.
Okay, good.
It's funny, and it's also moving.
Yeah.
You know.
And it's basically a story. It's a love letter to coming home, to Chicago. I love Chicago. And it's about, it's like I'm not into these shows that are one person for like 2 hours. It's an hour and 15 maybe.
Yeah.
It's like a mix between storytelling and stand-up and theater. And it's just a journey. It's my journey.
Was it cathartic for you to do this show?
Yes.
Big time.
It was so great to do it. And it was also sort of reintroducing saying, okay, because I had such a bad taste about acting I was like, oh, I've been rejected so many times and I don't know what I'm doing. So it was sort of like, I'm going to do my own thing and just see what happens. And the response was really good. And the show went to New York in 2013.
Right.
And
you played the Fringe Festival for a couple of weeks.
Your Fringe stories were pretty amazing when you went there.
Really? I did, back in 99.
So, yeah.
For the vinyl shop.
The vinyl shop.
Our version of High Fidelity.
It was crazy.
It was insane.
Yeah.
It was insane. And I spent a lot of that time drunk.
Yeah.
I was out there. I was in New York for 3 weeks.
Right.
And I spent most of it loaded.
Of course.
Loaded.
Of course. Most people do.
Yeah.
So, yeah. It was cathartic, and it was also just really fun and also good to know that, we can make our own stuff. Like, when you were writing Black and Blue, it's like, wait, I can create this.
Oh, yeah.
I don't have to wait for someone to.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what's so amazing about The Factory.
I agree.
Nobody sits around and waits for a good play to come
across. Let's make one.
Right.
That was the whole reason why I was with that company for like 20 years.
Yeah.
It was because we did it. It was like, let's put a show up. Okay, write one. Let's do it.
Right.
And we did it. And the company's been around now for 22 years.
I know. New space, new everything.
20,
maybe more than
4
that.
Years. Yeah. 24 years.
Yeah. So
next year will be 25 years.
I mean, that's amazing. New space, new,
yeah.
new
And they just closed Zombie Broads.
Yep.
Corey wrote it with Sarah.
With Sarah.
They were on the show a few weeks ago.
Yep. I had them on a show too, talking about Factory and stuff like that. So I just really feel like the thing about Chicago is you can make your own stuff. Mm-hmm. In LA, you need money, you need all this stuff. It's who you know, who's attached.
And it's different too in LA, and you have experience with this, but this is what I hear from people like you and my friend Mike, who lasted 9 months.
Yeah, which is
that's Mike View lasted 9 months.
My favorite story.
There's a lot of everything is about the industry.
Everything.
And if you're gonna do a piece of theater there, you do it because you want to see somebody in the business,
right?
To see it,
right? There's always a goal of that, and to be discovered.
Yeah,
in Chicago, nobody cares. No
exactly.
One's gonna get
discovered.
We want to make art.
People do shows in living rooms,
right?
You know, people
living
do shows
rooms
for the
anywhere.
A house of 10,
right?
Yeah, it doesn't.
It doesn't. Yeah, it doesn't matter, and that's why Chicago's so amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And so, when she said, "We'll come back and do it for a couple nights," I said, "Okay, I'll do it. We'll
now,
see how it is."
Now you're doing it this weekend.
Yes.
Did you do any dry runs? Did you do it for anybody else?
No, just my living room.
Just your living room.
Me in the living room.
Yeah.
And Miles probably hears it in the background. He's probably so sick of it. but no, I haven't. So it'll be really interesting to see. And it'll probably have changed a little bit. And it likes stand-up, long-form stand-up in some ways. It's different every time.
Sure.
It's not like a set thing. I riff on certain points and stuff like that, and some incidents, some sexual incidents, as you might recall.
There's a story involving your teeth.
And a sexual act.
And a sexual act.
It does not go well.
I will never forget.
No, it's people do not forget that. People still look at me and they go, oh!
Yeah, yeah.
It's
what was so funny was, like I mentioned earlier, I saw it with Decker.
Yeah.
And the reaction that, I mean, we were not on a date. Decker's my buddy.
Right.
And so, but the reaction that a woman and a man have at the same time to that story.
Yeah.
Is pretty remarkable because the guy does one thing.
Yes.
And the girl does something completely different. Like they react. It's just, we're being very vague because
you can't talk.
We
about
can't
it.
Tell this story
but
on the air.
You can come see the show. And
yeah, you could come
and
see
I'll
the show.
I'll tell you all about it.
So, and you do have some great Nicolas Cage stories in
I
it.
I do.
Yeah.
There are some.
Yeah.
He was just so like a child
mm-hmm.
and just like, hey, where am I? What's happening? Am I here? Is this real life?
I still love what's a deli.
Yeah. What's a deli, Jen? What's a deli? And I was like, and it puts the person in a really awkward position. How do you answer that without making someone feel stupid?
I know.
I was like,
but didn't it, the thing was he called you.
All the time.
Right? But he called you specifically to ask you what a deli was.
Oh, yeah. He called for, he'd be like, what's, I have one more question. I'd be like, oh, no, because this is the kicker question. What's a deli? He like wanted to know the definition of what a deli was. I was like, and so I said it's like a diner with a more Hebrew flair.
Yeah,
like that was the only way
there
I could
go.
Think of to describe it.
And was he okay with
no,
it?
No, he probably okay. He didn't. It did not satisfy
God,
him.
God, that's
sure.
so funny.
Yeah.
That is so funny. Anyway, it's a terrific show, Jen, and you
Thank
should be
you.
Very proud of it. Talk a little bit about the world of storytelling that you're a part of.
So
here.
Amazing. So in Chicago, there are probably, I would say, 20 storytelling shows, which basically means people get together in bars, in rooms, in theaters that are on off nights, and tell true stories. And a lot of times they're funny because life is funny. They're not always, but a lot of times they have a funny through line. And a lot of them are free, and you show up. Some of them are curated, which means you have to submit to. And there's if you go online, Chicago Storyteller page on Facebook, every event is on there, Chicago Storytellers. And they have you show up and you listen to people tell stories. Some you can just put your name in a bucket and you tell it that night. And so it's sort of like an open mic.
Yeah.
But it's longer and there's no pressure to like do bits. And I'm not a bit person.
Mm-hmm.
They can be great. Some people are great comedians that way. I'm just not. So this is more like true stories of people from all walks of life. And they have them usually at off-night theaters. So like on Monday nights, they'll
sure.
be, so, you know, theater, Stage 773 will have a storytelling show, and they have them at Second City, and they have them at, so it's really catching on, and it sort of bridges the gap between theater and stand-up.
Mm.
So you don't feel like, because watching stand-up can be really brutal, and watching theater can sometimes be brutal.
Yeah.
This is sort of like an in-between thing,
yeah.
and you don't have to make a commitment. It's not a two-hour, if you just want to hear a couple stories and then leave, you're fine. You haven't, like, paid your, you know, $40 million to see, and usually they're free.
Yeah,
and so it's like this is happening here. This is like one of the only places you could do that. Every night of the week.
When did you get involved in it?
Right after I moved. So when I started, so the reason I ended up on your show was Miles, my husband, who's in love with Nick, said, hey, you're doing a storytelling show in 07, it was, I think. And he's like, you should promote it on Nick's show. I was like, he's never going to have us on. And he's like, just write him. So I'm like, all right, dear Nick, I love you. My husband loves you. And you had us on.
Yeah.
In 07.
Yeah. And it was a group of people from
the storytelling community.
And then since then, we had you on pretty regularly.
Yeah. It's been amazing.
It's very, very cool. And again, people can go to there's a Facebook page for the Chicago Storytellers.
Chicago Storytellers. And you will find all the events that Chicago is having. It's amazing.
Now, the auditioning thing that you're doing. Is it better now?
It's better. Because here's the thing. It's hard to be an ingenue age when you're not an ingenue. So I'm way beyond that age. So I'm like in a character actor category that's amazing because people don't stick it out. Mm. So there's a bunch of us that are, but not as much. When you are a 20-something beautiful person, it's actually harder. Okay, the worst is to be a 20-something not beautiful person. But it's also hard to be a 20-something beautiful person because
it's limited.
Yeah.
Your time is limited.
Yeah. And there's so many 20-somethings that come, you know, that are like trying out Chicago before they go to LA and New York. So, but now that I'm 40 and I'm like, this is who I am, it's so much easier.
You know, it's what's funny was like during the latter part of my time with the factory.
Yeah.
like in the mid-2000s.
Yes.
Up until when I took a break and then I came back and directed a couple of shows between 2011, 2013.
Yeah.
In that time, when I came back in 2000, I guess it was 2004, I was gone from the factory. I left in 99 because my first wife was a member of the factory and she wouldn't leave the theater company. Right. So I left the theater company.
Right.
Then I came back after working with the Hypocrites and stuff. I came back and I started directing for the factory again. And that's when I got to the point where they were now on, they had moved to Elston where they were.
Yes.
The prop theater. And at that point, I was like an elder statesman because I was with the factory when it first started.
Yeah.
And so I'm now like auditioning kids. And they were. Kids. They were like in their 20s.
Oh, my gosh.
And I'm auditioning them and I'm like 40 and they're coming in and they're, you know, and they would like be so gung-ho and excited. And they're like, yes, I'll hang lights.
Wow.
Yes, I'll hammer nails.
Amazing?
And I would just stand there and go, God, I remember when I gave a crap.
Yeah.
And
it's like, it's so true.
Like
at rehearsals, like, they're like, well, we could stay till 10:45. I'm like, oh, no, I'm leaving at 10.
Well, that's the other thing. That's the thing. What's great about it is it's very freeing. You know what I mean? It's like, all right, you know, and it's not like I don't think the work that I contributed as a director between 05 and 11 was bad because I think a lot of it was really good.
Right.
It was just I wouldn't stay there and I'd get the stuff done, but then I'd be like, I have a life outside.
That's the thing. These kids don't have lives.
And I know. Well, it's not only that. It's like, and I know that me directing this show where the maximum house is 60 is not going to get me a gig at Goodman or on television.
Right.
The next show that I do will be in this same space for a house of 50.
Right.
It's freeing as hell.
So much freedom in that.
Yeah. And that's where you are now. You're like, I get a gig.
You're right. And I'm like, let's do it. Let's have some fun on Countrywide Financial and also hunting and fishing.
Hunting and fishing.
Yeah.
All right. You're going to have to pick another number here, Jen.
All right.
All right. Before we break.
Hold on.
I have to tell everybody what we're giving away.
I got so excited.
It's okay. We're giving away. This is big.
Okay.
Sports Illustrated 2016 commemorative issue for the World Series champion Chicago Cubs. The magazine features over 100 pages worth of Cubs content, recapping the past season and the Cubs championship run. You can collect all four covers, and you can get yours at newsstand or online at backissuessi.com. And so we are giving away that copy of the Sports Illustrated commemorative
issue
for the World Series. It's a big deal.
Yeah.
So pick a number between 1 and 10.
9.
Caller number 9, 312-981-7200 for that edition of the Sports Illustrated. If you're a Cub fan, you need to call in right now. 312-981-7200, caller number 9. All right, Jen, we're going to take a break here, and we'll come back, talk more, and all kinds of stuff. Yeah. All right. Morning, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate studio, 7th floor of the Trib Tower. Jen Bosworth is with me.
Hello.
Hi, Jen.
Hello.
Her one-woman show, Why Not Me? Love, Cancer, and Jack White, is happening at the Catalyst Ranch on West Randolph Street, Saturday at 8, Sunday at 3, and we have a link on our Facebook page. Caller number 9 is the one you chose.
Yes.
And we want to congratulate Steve. He's in Galesburg. He's our winner, and he got a copy of the Sports Illustrated 2016 commemorative issue for the World Series Cubs.
Now.
Yeah.
Did you, like, lose your mind, the anxiety-wise, over that?
Oh, my God. Did you watch Game 7?
Well, the problem with me is I don't have a television. So I
Oh, that's right. You don't have a television.
I was listening, but I was also freaking out. So I would turn it on and turn it off. And I literally, I was sick with the flu, but I the only way I could cope was I was binging Theraflu.
Yeah.
To cope with the stress.
Yeah.
I was sick.
I've been a baseball fan my whole life.
Yeah.
A Cubs fan specifically,
right.
My whole life. You know
you
that.
You grew up right there.
I grew up right there. And not just a Cub fan, but as a baseball fan and as a person who every year, regardless of who the team is, I watch the World Series.
Okay. You
every
were
year.
One of those guys. Okay.
I do. Now, I don't really, when if I don't have a horse at stake, I just watch it because it's baseball.
Yeah.
Who I root for, who I root
doesn't
against,
really,
it doesn't really matter. I'll pick a team.
Right.
You know, that I like a little bit more.
Yeah.
And I've never seen a Game 7 like that ever in my life as a baseball fan. And the fact that it was not only – had the Cubs not been in that game, two different teams, it would have still been – it would have been the best Game 7 I've ever seen.
It was unbelievable.
The fact that the Cubs were in it made my brain melt.
I know.
You know, like it's the Chicago Cubs in the most legendary – perhaps the most legendary Game 7 in World Series history.
Yeah.
And they won the damn game, and they won the World Series.
I mean, I was crying. I was screaming.
Man.
Everyone was. And I remember Pat was saying, like, you know, if you're sick to your stomach, you're not alone.
Right.
Like, people were just like.
Well, we were on the air afterwards, man. And, you know, the whole show, we were just celebrating.
I mean.
And it was, you know, I had my Mickey Morandini jersey on.
Oh.
It was, and, but I will say this. As insane as it was when the Cubs won the World Series, when they won that Game 7.
Yeah.
And I wept. I called my father immediately. My dad was crying.
Oh.
My dad, 75 years old, and he finally got to see the Cubs win a World Series.
That's so beautiful.
And there's so many stories like
yes.
that, which is what makes it so special.
Yeah.
But I got to say, and as much as I celebrated and I cried and I was so excited and it was so much fun to be here with like Andy Mazur and all the other guys and do a show about celebrating the Cubs' victory, I was more emotional when they got into the World Series.
Oh.
It was the night. It was a Saturday night. It was October 22nd. And Dan, if I'm not mistaken, when they won it, they get into the World Series. The Cubs finally make it to the World Series.
Right.
That was the night that Tom Hanks introduced David S. Pumpkins to the world. On Saturday Night Live. And I don't think that's a coincidence. I don't think that's a coincidence.
You love David.
And David S. Pumpkins rules the planet. And the fact that that happened
together
on the same night.
It was like one of your favorite nights.
I mean, I was thinking, I was home by myself in my underwear watching the damn game.
You were having a ball.
And then I didn't come into work. You know, like I had to come into work after they won the World Series and you know, run a show and be a pro. I was just on my couch in my shorts.
With your David S. Pumpkins.
With my David S. Pumpkins and knowing that the Cubs were going to the World Series.
That's a great memory.
It's just one of those, it's weird because I told people that and I think a lot of people can understand that.
Yeah.
But the thing about it was that damn hump getting to the World Series that kept stopping us.
Yeah.
2003, they were 5 outs away from the World Series.
Yeah.
You know, 1984, that close to the World Series. So getting there, that was like a real emotional one for me. Like I was bawling. And then like they win the World Series. Fantastic. I celebrate. But the night they got to the World Series to me.
Was the best.
Was the best.
Oh. That's
so
beautiful. Yeah. I was thinking about you.
I love that you had to turn the radio off.
Oh no. I have dyspepsia. I can't. I have a problem area. It's too nerve wracking.
Yeah, I can understand that. It was an incredibly nerve-wracking
game. I was swearing at my husband as if it was his fault. I said, "You said they weren't going to lose. You said it." Like, he knows. It's
just screaming.
Yeah. It was an incredible, just an incredible series all the way around.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. Yeah. Okay, we have to break for the news. Okay. And your one-woman show is called Why Not Me? Love, Cancer, and Jack White. It's very funny and very moving and really worth seeing. And Jen is a great performer. And it's going to be at Catalyst Ranch, 656 West Randolph Street in the West Loop here in Chicago. It's Saturday, December 3rd at 8 p.m. and the matinee on Sunday, December 4th at 3 p.m. There's a link for purchasing tickets and all the information on our Facebook page, which is facebook.com/NickDShow. Hang out, Jen, okay?
Okay.
All right, we got the news coming up after this. Yeah. Morning. Hi, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate Studio, 7th floor of the Trib Tower. Coming up a little bit later on, we're going to talk about celebrity crushes. Let me just tell you the story now. Jen Bosworth is here.
Hi.
Hi, Jen. Her one-woman show, which is awesome, is being performed by Jen, which is good because it's your one-woman show.
Yeah. Wilford Brimley is going to star.
Diabetes. Catalyst Ranch at 656 West Randolph, Saturday at 8 p.m., Sunday at 3 p.m. Tickets available. You can go through our Facebook page, facebook.com/NickDShow. So we're going to talk about celebrity crushes later on after 4 o'clock. And we'll find out like who. I know Esmeralda has like 43 of them.
Yeah.
Way more. 43,000.
I've got a bunch, and I had many when I was a kid. I know Dan has some. We'll find out what the mysterious Vic Vaughn has. But before you get out of here, I want to ask you who your celebrity crushes were or maybe are now. But this is the story that instigated this this topic.
Okay.
All right. It involved James Marsden.
Good-looking bloke.
Yes, and funny.
And funny.
James Marsden, this is the headline here. James Marsden was giddy when he met Dame Helen Mirren.
Oh, that is not someone I would have thought.
On the Ellen DeGeneres show on Monday. The actor told DeGeneres that he has had a massive crush on Mirren, who is 71, for years, and they'd never actually met. Though Marsden, 43, did admit that he once saw Mirren at the Rome International Airport. Instead of introducing himself, he followed her around covertly and took her picture. he said, I followed her to a baggage claim, and in a very voyeuristic and creepy way, I took a photo of her while she was walking. Then DeGeneres brought out Helen Mirren.
Of course.
Marsden turned bright red before the two embraced and shared a peck on the lips.
Wow.
Now, I can totally see Helen Mirren. Being somebody's crush.
Yeah.
She's 71 years old. She's still hot.
She's hot. She's sexy.
She's
amazing.
Incredibly talented.
Yeah.
I love that story.
Yeah. It's a great story.
Now, before you get out of here, I want, we're going to talk about it after four. Did you have, now, when you were a kid, when you were growing up, who'd you have?
Robert Stack.
Whoa. Whoa. Wait.
Was this before or after Unsolved Mysteries?
It's during Unsolved Mysteries.
Oh, gosh. No.
I know.
No, I'm
was
sorry.
A strange child.
I don't know what the hell is going on right now. No wonder you're coming to see 1941.
Yeah,
he's in it.
Right. I love him. I fell in love. I was when that show came out, Unsolved Mysteries, I was 10 or 11, and I fell in love with him. I loved his trench coat. I loved the fog he stepped out of.
Did you go back and watch The Untouchables? Did you?
I've seen since then, I saw, but that's how I fell in love with him, was that show. I
thought Robert Stack on Unsolved Mysteries.
I thought he was so handsome. My family did not know what to do with me. I also loved pro wrestling, and they were like, what is going on?
You got no argument here.
Right, I know. But anyway, that was my crush. Isn't that
Robert
weird?
Robert Stack. It's very weird.
I know.
It's very weird. Now, not that Robert Stack's not cool.
But he was like 104 then, and I was 11. It's a weird thing.
Yeah,
I thought he was handsome.
Well, are you going to be okay on next Tuesday? Because he's got like the cool buzz cut and he's wearing a uniform in 1941.
I think I might be okay.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah.
He's great in 1941, by the way. He's so great. And Airplane, you must have loved him in Airplane.
I loved Airplane. You know, he just, to me, was just the coolest. I really had, my family was probably like, oh my gosh, they didn't know what to do with me.
Now, as you got older, who were some of your other crushes? Wilford Brimley?
Wilford Brimley. I know.
Diabetes.
Jack Palance.
So you're just like people who did know mysterious syndicated TV shows.
Exactly.
Believe it or not. That's right.
My crushes. I liked, I was a sort of a Prince kind of. Oh, you know who it was, though? It was Keanu Reeves.
Good for you.
Oh, I fell in love. There's a little movie called Pittsburgh.
King of Pittsburgh.
Oh, I fell in love. I saw that in River's Edge and King of Pittsburgh, which has some funny, funny stuff in it.
It does. He's got the worst haircut ever in that
movie.
Yeah.
Like a weird bowl cut, right? Or
it's like
no.
One part of it is shaved, the other part's really long.
Yeah. So anyway, I loved him.
He looked so beautiful. You know what his haircut looks like
what?
In that movie? One of the punks that hangs out with Nelson. One of the bullies that hangs out with Nelson on The Simpsons.
It's with that little
Esmeralda, do you know what I'm talking about? Like he's got the hair is swooped over to one side. And he wears the green shirt.
Yes.
He wears the green shirt, I think.
Yeah, and he has like spikies.
Oh, okay. He's not the one with the hat.
Which one is Esmeralda?
He's the one he has a kid.
Is he the one with the kid? No. The one with the kid is the big sort of fat guy.
Oh, does he wear the hat?
He's thin, and he's got like his hair is swept. It's like
a
comb over.
It's shaved on one side. Like, doesn't it in his eye the whole time?
It's like once. It's like over one eye.
Yeah.
Most of the time. Yeah, but that's the haircut that Keanu was sporting in that movie.
I was in love with him. I had pictures of him on my walls, and he was a beautiful man.
I have a crush on Keanu Reeves. Yeah. I've had a crush on Keanu Reeves for years.
Yeah.
I was watching the... just like Robin, my good friend Robin Coffin, our good friend Robin Coffin, I was watching the Too Young to Die River Phoenix.
Yeah.
And they spent a lot of time on My Own Private Idaho.
Oh, that's... Remember that?
Oh, that movie. I love that movie so much. And Esmeralda, have you seen My Own Private Idaho?
I haven't.
Oh man.
Just fantastic.
They tell a great story because they talk to River Phoenix's agent. A guy who was an assistant to his agent. His agent passed away. She was an older woman who represented River Phoenix. And he got the script and she read it and said, "No. You can't do this movie.
Right.
Are you insane?"
Yeah.
He played a gay hustler in it, and there's a lot of explicit homosexuality in it. It's a very weird movie.
Weird movie.
Loosely based on Henry V.
Right.
And it's really stylistically strange. It's out there.
Yep.
And River Phoenix really wanted to do it. And the agent was like, no. And so he sent over a copy of Gus Van Sant was the director of the movie, writer director of the movie. So they tell the story about how River Phoenix sent over a copy of this film called Malanoche that Gus Van Sant directed. This weird, experimental, avant-garde, incredibly gay, black and white movie. And the assistant who they're interviewing says she was tearing her hair out like he's not doing this movie. Who the hell made this movie? There's no way he's doing a movie directed by this guy.
Yeah.
The guy who made this thing, whatever the hell this black and white monstrosity is.
Right.
And he ended up making the movie.
Right.
And so the assistant was talking about how they went to the premiere with the woman, the agent.
Yeah.
And they're driving after the premiere. They're driving. They get in the car. They don't stay for the after party.
Right.
They get in the car, close the door, and she goes, "What the hell was that? It's going to be the biggest bomb that River ever made." And it turned out to be like a big hit. He won the Best Actor award for the Venice Film Festival.
Yep.
It's not an easy movie to watch.
No, it is not.
He's heartbreaking in it.
It's a really sad movie, but he's brilliant.
And
so
Keanu.
Is Keanu. Yeah.
Keanu, good year, 1991. Here's the deal.
Okay.
You ready for this?
Yeah.
Here's your little Keanu.
Yeah.
My little Keanu.
Okay.
1991, My Own Private Idaho.
Yep.
The sequel to Bill and Ted. Bill and Ted's Bogus Journey, which I like more than the first one.
I do too.
And Point Damn Break. Same year.
That was a good year for him.
Yeah.
And for the rest of us too.
For all of us who have eyes and ears. Yes.
He's beautiful.
Yeah, Keanu. So Keanu was on your wall.
Oh, yeah.
Anybody in the music world besides Prince?
You know, I'm so weird. I had a crush on the lead singer of Faith No More.
Oh, Mike Patton rules.
He was so beautiful.
I love Mike Patton.
Oh, good.
Mike Patton is one of my favorite. He's a criminally underrated front man.
Criminally.
Yep.
Easy on a Sunday morning.
He's
I loved him. And everyone was like, "Who is that?" I was like, "No, this guy's awesome."
He's in the video where the fish is flipping
around. Long hair weirdo.
Yeah, Mike Patton.
Yeah, I love that guy. Yeah, he's a weird one.
I was at a show. We were talking about this band that was in here. I was in a show. It was Helmet opening for Faith No More at the Aragon Ballroom.
Whoa.
And Mike Patton's insane. He's lead singer, as you just mentioned. And he started insisting because they had folding chairs on the floor. at the Aragon. And normally they didn't. No. You just would stand down
right.
there. And Mike Patton was like, what? You guys can't, you can't like do a pit with these chairs here. So bring the chairs up on stage. So people start throwing chairs onto the stage and lifting them from the back, head over head over head over head. You know, somebody grabbing one from behind,
whoa,
bringing it to the next person, until there were hundreds of chairs stacked up on the stage, and everybody got a mosh pit going.
That's amazing.
It was one of the most unbelievable things I've, and I was in the balcony, so I was
witnessed the whole
yeah
thing.
I was like in the first row balcony and just
that's
watching
beautiful.
These rows of seats
yeah.
being passed up. Some people were chucking them
yeah.
and getting hit with them and stuff.
Yeah.
But by the time it was like it took them maybe 10 minutes, a couple of songs or a song and a
right.
half, to get all the chairs on stage. They're all piled. You can't see the drummer. Oh, the bass player and the guitarist, they had to move. And but then everybody, they got a pit going.
That's
they started,
like an amazing concert.
It was Helmet, it was Helmet and Faith No More. Whoa.
Brilliant.
Jams.
Jams.
Yeah. So, all right. We have to break for weather and traffic
okay.
here. And then when we come back, you're going to turn the tables up.
Certainly am.
Okay. Listen, before we break.
Yes.
You're going to have to pick another number.
Okay.
Because I want to give away another Christmas tree. So this is for a certificate of desktop, for a desktop sports-themed artificial Christmas tree of your choice with white micro lights. It's from Treetime Christmas Creations. They're on Pepper Road in Lake Barrington, treetime.com. If you want one of these really, really cool artificial Christmas trees that's sports-related, they're really awesome, by the way. You got to have your email address ready, and you got to be able to pick up the tree from Treetime. If you want this great artificial tree, in time for Christmas, pick a number between 1 and 10, Jen.
3.
3. Caller number 3, 312-981-7200. 312-981-7200 for your tree. Morning, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. How you doing? We're here till 5 a.m. Steve Grzanich with the opening bell at 5 and the great Steve Cochran with your morning drive at 6. We're going to be talking about, after the news, we're going to be talking about celebrity crushes. James Marsden got to meet his, who's Helen Mirren, on the Ellen DeGeneres Show, and we're going to talk about our celebrity crushes and yours. We want you to send yours in at 312-981-7200 or call us. Also, we want to congratulate Juan, who just won our tree from treetime.com.
Congratulations, Juan.
Caller number 3, which Jen,
yay.
By the way, he also requested a request from you, Jen.
What?
To tell the Paris Hilton story from the time you were.
Oh, well, the bottom line is this.
Yeah.
I was drinking, and that's never a good thing. And
this was when you were working for Nick Cage.
I was working for Nick Cage, yeah. living in L.A. We went to a party. I remember it was like a Christmas party. There was like 7 of us. Our bill was $4,000. And a lot of Kobe beef, which is a special kind of beef. Anyway, I look over and there's Paris Hilton sashaying at this restaurant with just the smug look. And I decided it was time for me to get into a fist fight with her. But the problem was I couldn't stand because I was so intoxicated that I was stumbling around, but they had to stop me. I just thought, how dare she look so smug and sashay around? I don't know. It was like something.
You wanted to kill her.
Something rose up inside me.
And this was after you'd been there for a while. This was when the worm turned.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
The worm had turned, my friend. The worm had turned.
Anyway, so okay. That's Juan wanted to hear you.
Oh, hi, Juan.
Express how much you hate Paris Hilton.
I had a problem.
Yeah. All right. Well, you're home now, and now you're working,
yay.
And you've got a one-woman show called Why Not Me? And it's playing at this weekend at Catalyst Ranch on West Randolph Street. You can check her out. And you have a Facebook page, correct?
I do. It's just Jen Bosworth. You can find me.
Jen Bosworth on Facebook.
Yep.
And we have a link on our Facebook page to get tickets and get all the information and stuff.
Yay!
Now, whenever you're here, Jen, you turn the tables on me and you ask me the questions.
Absolutely.
And do you want to do an intro and then I'll hit the little sound here? Don't you do it?
No, I don't. See, I'll show you how I do it. You hit the sound.
Oh.
This is Turning the Tables with Nick DiGilio. I'm Jen Bosworth.
Okay.
Question number one. Favorite movie from the last 6 months?
It just came out this weekend. Manchester by the Sea.
Okay. All right. Burns is in that. The woman who I went to high school with. I don't know who she plays, but she's in that. She's some character. Anyway.
It is phenomenal.
It's beautiful.
Let me just say something about this year, about 2016 really
okay.
quickly. A great year for movies.
Okay.
A great, great year for movies. And it's going to be the most difficult year to whittle it down to 20 in a long time.
That's fantastic.
In a long time. And there's more coming out. There's more coming out. And you know, But it's, so far, it's been a great year. And there's stuff like La La Land I haven't seen yet.
Oh, yeah.
Which is Emma Stone and Ryan Gosling in a musical directed by the guy who directed Whiplash.
Wow.
By the way, Emma Stone on SNL this weekend.
Oh.
And she rules.
You love her.
I do.
Yeah.
That's one of my crushes.
Yeah.
One of my current crushes.
Current
Emma
crush.
Stone, yeah. Of course, you know, she'd look at me and go, yeah, you're 51. Get away from me.
Yeah.
Okay, so anyway, right at this point, it's Manchester.
Okay. Casey Affleck does a good job. Phenomenal.
For me, it's his Oscar to lose this year.
Wow. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. All right, so let's see. Oh, when you're down and things aren't so good, what kind of...
Hey, James Taylor.
I know. When you're down, what makes you feel better? What do you do when you're having a bad day?
Oh, man. Well, you know, I used to drink.
Right. That
was my number one go-to a couple of years ago.
Yep. Now what do you do?
You know, I usually, you know, I watch a lot of TV or listen to music.
Uh-huh.
There are certain pieces of music that make me very happy.
Really?
Yeah.
My
number one song that no matter what kind of mood I'm in, if I hear it, it automatically makes me happy.
Is?
Don't You Worry About a Thing by Stevie Wonder.
Oh.
It's my favorite. It's like, it's, I don't know how you can't be completely and utterly filled with joy when you hear that song.
That's beautiful.
I'll tell you something that always brings me complete joy.
Okay.
The last 10 minutes of School of Rock.
Isn't it amazing?
Oh, my God. It kills me every time I see it.
It's pure love and joy.
Yeah. And those kids just playing. Yeah.
I'm friends with Becca Brown.
I know. I've had her on the show.
I know.
Yeah.
She's awesome.
She's awesome. So that's a couple of things.
Okay. Yeah. Those are good. How did you spend your Thanksgiving?
Went over to the folks.
Okay.
Hung out with them.
Okay.
My mom made ravioli.
Oh, that's right.
She didn't do the big turkey thing because she's, you know, she's like in her 70s.
No,
now.
Don't make her make a turkey.
It's just the three of us.
Yeah,
you know, it's just me and my dad and my mom.
Homemade ravioli?
Yeah.
This is no Chef Boyardee.
And she, you know, we were originally, you know, like, man, let's order a pizza or do something. So my mom didn't have to, like, slave in the kitchen all day making turkeys and all kinds of stuff. So we had ravioli. And we watched almost 4 hours of All in the Family.
That's right. That's what you
said. It was a four-hour marathon of All in the Family. And we, the three of us, just sat and watched these episodes and laughed and laughed and laughed and just talked.
Do you recommend going back and watching it if you're a TV lover?
All in the Family?
Yeah.
The first four episodes, or first four or five seasons, yeah.
How many seasons did that go on?
It was
on?
About eight or nine.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, and then there was Archie Bunker's Place. There was a spinoff, Archie Bunker's Place, which sucked.
I didn't see that.
But it was Antenna TV who did the marathon.
Okay.
And they chose the cream of the crop episodes. Like, they went back and got some of the best. The last episode that my parents and I watched together on Thanksgiving before I went home was the Sammy Davis Jr. episode.
Oh, yeah.
Where he shows up at Archie's house.
That's right.
And he kisses Archie.
That's right.
Phenomenal.
Phenomenal. Okay. And I have one more question.
All right.
what's your favorite holiday movie of all time?
Holiday in general?
Yeah.
Halloween.
Okay.
But if you want to get more specific.
Yeah. What's your favorite season, like Thanksgiving, Christmas season.
Movie?
Yeah.
Okay, well, my favorite Thanksgiving movie is Home for the Holidays.
Me too. It's such a brilliant film.
I showed that at my film club.
I was there.
And my favorite Christmas movie was my first movie that I ever showed at my film club.
The Ref.
The Ref.
Miles was there. So you love those. Why do you love The Ref?
Well, The Ref is, to me, well, for one, it's hilarious.
Okay.
And, you know, when that movie came out at that time, I was a huge Dennis Leary, and still am.
Me too.
Huge Dennis Leary fan. I think that movie is one of the most accurate portrayals
of family
and Christmas, the stress of it. I mean, it takes it a little bit over the top here and there, but like any of the scenes with the family where they're sitting around they're sitting around the table with the stupid candles on their heads, and the stress of having the family come over and, you know, adding like Dennis Leary's criminal character to it was beautiful. It's my favorite Christmas. I have a bunch of Christmas movies. A lot of the Christmas movies I like are a little darker. Like, I like The Ice Harvest a lot.
I was at your... That
and I showed
is
that.
An amazing film.
Yeah. It's one of my favorites.
Ramis? No.
Ramis.
Yes.
Yeah, Harold Ramis directed it. And it's
Billy Bob Thornton
and John Cusack.
It's such good acting.
Yeah.
It's a
great movie.
Well, those were my questions for
you. Oh, thank you very much.
Yeah, I'm really, really happy that I was able to ask you those. People really like that.
They like it when you turn the tables.
Oh. They're like, we know so much more about him now.
Did Miles help you out with any of those
questions?
No,
I don't take his suggestions.
All right. Why don't you be a little more dismissive of my boyfriend?
I love Miles.
My boyfriend Miles.
That is your boyfriend.
Yeah. All right. Well, listen, Jen, you got to come in sooner than later. All right.
I love coming.
That's going to make Straight Out of Context. I'm telling you right now that you just made Straight Out of Context.
Here.
Yeah. 357, everybody.
I love coming here.
Okay. All right.
Well, that also could be.
You know, you made it. Trust me on this.
It's over.
We'll be playing it back on Friday. Okay. Jen Bosworth is great. The One Woman Show, which I've seen, and it's highly recommended, and it's awesome. It's funny. And it'll make you laugh. It'll make you cry. Why Not Me? Love, Cancer, and Jack White at the Catalyst Ranch, 656 West Randolph in West Loop. Saturday at 8 p.m. and Sunday at 3 p.m. These are the only two times you can see it, so get your tickets now. Jen is on Facebook, Jen Bosworth, and we have a link on our Facebook page as well for tickets and information. It's always a pleasure, Jen.
Always a pleasure. Thank you.
All right, we'll take a break, and we'll come back. We got the news, and we're going to talk about celebrity crushes.